I don't know if I haven't seen it myself, but evidently there's a scene in the movie Schindler's List. And if you know anything about Schindler, Oskar Schindler was a Polish businessman, and he used a portion of this fortune that he had attained. And I'm not sure exactly how this worked, but it says here he used a portion of his fortune to put the names of Jews on a work list that would keep them from going to concentration camps. And there were many who escaped certain death because of his action. As he looks into their faces, he has a moment of clarity. This is evidently the scene in the film. He sees things as he's never seen them before. He's talking to his friend and says, if only there could have been more. If only I could have done more. His friend says, there are 1,100 people here. There are generations here because of what you have done. But Schindler says, it could have been more. That car, I could have sold it, and that would have meant 10 more people. 10 more people on that list. 10 more people saved. And he evidently, maybe to keep himself somewhat hidden, he ripped the swastika pin from his lapel and says, this pin, it's gold. That's two people. At least one person this pin could have been. He had a moment of clarity when he realized the difference between what we value on this earth and what is valuable in eternity. And our text this morning is listed as Matthew 6, verses 19 through 23. And I'll be reading that text, but adding verse 24 as well. And if you would stand for the reading of God's word. And it is printed on the sheet I passed out with the bulletins. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Lord, we thank you for these words. We thank you for the word that you have given us, and we know that it is true. It is eternally true, Lord. And Lord, we just pray now that as we look into this scripture and the topics it brings forth, I just pray that the words of my mouth will be accurate, and that our hearts and minds will remain fixed on you throughout this service and throughout our week. And Lord, we just once again thank you for these opportunities. And I just pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. And if we look at verse 21 again, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, the things we treasure, that it indicates to ourselves where our heart is and our attitude toward ourselves and our earthly possessions, but even more so our eternal destiny. And you know, and I would encourage you, if you haven't seen it already, and I mentioned it before, there's a illustration by Francis Chan. You know, he's got this rope that seemingly goes on forever, and just a little bit of it is painted a different color. And this moment, I call it, on earth, this life is just but a moment. And the older I get, the more I realize that this life is short, and it's been described as a vapor, and eternity, are we focusing our attention, is our treasure here on this earth? Is it within this earthly body? Is it the possessions that we have been, I say given, because everything comes from God, everything belongs to God. Is our treasure within those things? Or do we use the things we're given, not only the things, but our time and our energy and, of course, our things? Are we using that to further God's kingdom here on earth while we're here? And we have to look within ourselves and ponder where our treasure truly lies. And I want to mention that, you know, God did not say that we shouldn't have possessions, the things that He's given us, but we need to realize where we place things. And our heart, our inner being, contains what is most important to you. Are we focusing on the things we've been given, or are we focusing on how we can maybe use those things and focusing on our eternal destiny? And what is in your heart will be somehow seen in some form by those around you. Luke 6:45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." So we demonstrate through our actions and through the way we live our lives what's important to us. And as I said before, having things and using them and taking care of them is not a sinful thing, but it's what we allow it to do to us. Oftentimes we treasure the things that we don't have. You look at that. And advertising just pushes this on us all the time. You know, if they'll advertise a truck, the one that sticks in my mind is a pickup ad, and the neighbor here, he has just bought some small thing that they're proud of, okay? But then his neighbor over here says, you know, look what I have, you know, this truck. And it just pushes that idea that if your neighbor's got this, what you have in your mind seems insignificant. So you want that thing, and advertisers push that. So it isn't just the things we have, but the things we covet. And covetousness and greediness and not being content with the things we have and our station in life. And as the scripture says, we will treasure something somewhere, and the question is where? Where is our treasure? And what we gain in the life to come will be based on what we do with the life we have here and how we use what we have, whether it's possessions, time, and the energies we have been given, our talents, how are we using them? Sometimes we can have a certain talent, and that can be our treasure. And here's the story of a well-known pastor by the name of George W. Truett. He was invited to dinner at the home of a very wealthy man in Texas. After the meal, the host led him to a place where he could get a good view of the surrounding area. Pointing to the oil wells on the landscape, he boasted, 25 years ago, I had nothing. Now, as far as you can see, it's all mine. Looking in the opposite direction at his fields of grain, That's all mine. Turning east towards huge herds of cattle, they're all mine. Then he pointed to the west, and there's a beautiful forest. That too is mine. He paused, expecting Pastor Truett to compliment him on his great success. Truett, however, placed one hand on the man's shoulder and, pointing heavenward with the other, simply said, "How much do you have in that direction?" And the man hung his head and confessed, "I never thought of that." So where is our treasure? And I've got three questions here regarding our possession. First one is, where do I put the greatest emphasis? And going back to our text, we're reading verses 19 and 20. "Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." So is our focus on the temporary, and our lives are so temporary, as I mentioned before. It's just, you know, I'll be 68 years old pretty soon, and I can't figure out where the years went. And I'm sure there's others here that can agree with that and realize that that what's here is so temporary. But we are eternal beings. And the world, I mean, even though the world, we like our comfortable lives, I'm not complaining about that. But in the long run, the world has nothing for us. And the first Supreme Court Justice of the United States, the first Chief Justice, John Jay, was asked how it was possible for him to occupy his mind after his retirement. He replied with a smile, "I have a long life to look back upon, but an eternity to look forward to." And so the treasures on earth, where do we put those in our level of importance? And 1 John 2:15-17, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And the will of God in our lives is to use the things that he has given us, whether it's possessions, talent, time. What do we do with that? Are we doing his will with the things that he has blessed us with? So I mean, you know, it's nice to have a few bucks in the bank. It's nice to have cars that'll get you from one point to the other, a nice house that keeps you dry, food on the table. And he has given us the things we need to exist. But how do we use those things? How do we use the things beyond that? And it's all subject to destruction, and it will all eventually decay. And it's easily lost. You've heard about people who have had great possessions and some catastrophe strikes, whether it's financial or some kind of storm in their lives. They've lost it all. And if that is where our only hope is, then we will feel all is lost. But as we use the things we have and the time we have and our talents, we will be laying up treasures in heaven if we use them for his glory. And there's an eternal aspect of our work here on earth if we do it for God. the second question is, what is my guiding principle? And then we go back again to the text, chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, and I was looking for a little clarification on what that might mean. And as I've looked up things, some of the definitions were, if your eye be good, or clear, or healthy. Now, of course, we're talking about our spiritual eye. And maybe another thing, if thine eye be single, could it mean if you're looking in a manner that where God and His will are the single goals in our lives? I don't know. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And here it describes the light being darkness. And I've always looked at the idea of darkness as being in our natural world, that is the natural state of things. And I need to explain that. Without the sun providing light, we need something providing the light in our lives. And we have the sun, and we go into a dark room, we have a light switch, we have light. But without that light, the natural state of that room or our world is darkness. And as we read in Scripture, the light of the world is Jesus. And without that, we are in darkness. And if we have an evil or dark eye, that's an eye that cannot focus on the right things. As it says in verse 23, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And that eye will see wealth, earthly possessions, and earthly accomplishments as more important than the other things that we should be concerned about. And our eye should see things as spiritual. And we have to take care, even though our focus should not be in our possessions, we are still commanded to be stewards. And good stewards of what He's given us, and to use the things He's given us wisely. And let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, and then jumping down to 17. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. It's so hard to be content. But they that be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And it doesn't say that money is a root of all evil. It says the love of money, the love of the things of this earth and the things that the money can accomplish for us. And I've seen through news accounts and different things how there are people who have, with their mouth, confess Christ, but then when the riches, I'm thinking of a young pop singer. She was raised in a Christian home. She started out singing, I suppose, contemporary gospel music, but the allure of fame and fortune, and she has embarked on a career that is the opposite of what she should have been striving for. And there are others. And we've even seen evangelists who have, and I don't want to lump every evangelist that appears on TV together, but there are so many who have strayed from the path because they have realized that if they come across a certain way and promise certain things, that the money will come in. And there are, I'm not going to name any names, but there are those who possibly begin their ministry with a real desire to preach the truth and to walk with God and encourage others to do the same, but all of a sudden they achieved a level of fame and found out that the money would come in, and then spend the vast portions of it on themselves with gold-plated faucets in their bathrooms and you name it. And it's like their focus has shifted from the treasures of heaven to the treasures of this earth, and have led many people astray. I don't know where I want to go. And the eye full of light knows that wealth is given from God and should be used accordingly. When the vision is right, the rest will be right. It says that in the scripture. Verse 22 says, if therefore thine eye be single or good or clear, thy whole body shall be full of light. In one of his booklets, Adrian Rogers tells of some gold prospectors who discovered an exceptionally rich mine. One of them said, hey, we've got it made as long as we don't tell anybody before we stake our claim. So they vowed to keep the secret. Because they had to have more tools and provisions, they headed for town. After buying all the supplies they needed, they hurried back to the mine site, but they weren't alone. A crowd of people followed them because their discovery was written all over their faces. Do we exhibit that type of joy, or how should I say it, excitement or exuberance over the treasures that we have in heaven? Do we show that to other people? It should manifest itself in the way we carry ourselves. And as these miners, would our countenance and our behaviors encourage others to follow us to where that's the source of that happiness is? In their case, it was the happiness of the gold mine. In our case, it's the happiness of knowing Christ and the joy that we can experience through that. Are we showing that in our lives? What happens on the inside shows on the outside. And we as Christians should be joyful with the light of God, and it should show on our faces. And we are needed in the darkness of this world. This world is dark. We learned a lot about that yesterday. This world is dark, and we are living in an age that's very similar to the age of Noah. And as we did in Sunday school this morning, he was talking about Noah. And it came to my mind that, you know, Noah was ridiculed, and he was looked down upon because he was building this ark. And he just kept hammering and sawing. He just kept on going because he knew that he was serving a God who had commanded him to do something, and he was going to do it. Are we in this age of darkness, and we can be ridiculed for our faith, we can be looked down upon, you know, and figuratively, are we still hammering and sawing away and doing what God has commanded us to do? Are we doing that? And the third question is, to what does my loyalty belong? And verse 24 in our text says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Our loyalty needs to be completely with God and in his commandments. And I would say mammon is anything that we accumulate on this earth as far as our, oh, the work we've done, the accomplishments we've had in our lives, and the money we've accumulated, the possessions we have, all that is mammon. And it's okay to have those things, but let's not serve those things. You cannot serve both God and things. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those which are above. This is Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Are we risen with Christ? Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. So do we have a loyalty to God? Do we have a feeling, or is our attitude that of devoted attachment? Do we have affection for God? And do we want to live our lives live a life that is pleasing to him? And he asks us for a one-sided choice. We got to make that choice. And if we don't choose him, we've chosen something else. And I would encourage you this morning, I of course don't know the hearts and minds of everyone, but if somehow or another you haven't made that choice yet, boy, I encourage you to seek Christ out, and to look into your Bibles and find there what is needed to make that choice, and talk with someone who has made that choice. And I think about that first question about what our greatest emphasis is. Your wealth is good only until your death. And like it's often said, you don't see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. What you have on this earth, when your earthly life is over, that's gone. And then you have to face God as to what you did with your life and what choices you made. And our loyalty to God, if we remain loyal and we follow his commands and choose him, it's eternal. And we will reap the benefits long after our death. Eternity is something that we can't even comprehend. You know, we could pick out a little, there's no specks on the wall here. Boy, they do a good job keeping. But if there's a little speck on the wall, and you look at the rest of the building, and you take that speck, that is your life. And it's not a good metaphor. Almost every illustration or metaphor falls apart. Look at the rest of this building. Not only the walls, but the building in its entirety. Let's think of that as eternity. And that speck on the wall, if there was one, would represent your life on earth. And everything else would represent your eternity. And we are eternal beings. And so I guess my concluding question would be, what do you treasure the most? Where does your heart lie? What do you treasure in your heart and mind? And what would you do to know more about Christ and to do more for him? Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you again for the opportunities we have to gather and to worship. And Lord, I just pray that as we disperse from this service this morning, that we will strive to live lives that are true. We want to be true to your word, and we want to be true to what you have for us. And let us strive to, through study and prayer, to live in your in your will, and to serve those around us so that they can see the joy that we have in you, Lord, and that they will want to find whatever it is we found, like the prospectors, those people that followed them wanted to find what they found. And oh Lord, we just thank you again, and we praise your name. Amen.